Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Matt Spaulding. Matt Spaulding used to work with the Heritage Foundation. Today he's the Vice President and Dean of Hillsdale College in Washington, D.C. Now, it's a Michigan-based school, but there's a D.C. office, and Matthew Spaulding is a professor of political science there, and their website is hillsdale.edu. Well, we're going to talk right now about all this talk about impeaching President Trump. Matt, so good to talk with you again. I'm glad to have you on the show.
I'm good to be back with you again.
Okay. So, I've never seen a situation that I can remember where a president is in there for 130 days or 20 right. days or whatever it is, and people are talking impeachment. I think it's they don't like his policies or something.
Well, I think it cuts to several ways, and it tells us a lot about what's going on. You're right in your initial instincts. I don't know of any historical instance in which this early in a president's administration they're already talking impeachment. I think part of it is we have to remember. I mean, Donald Trump, like him or not, is an extremely unusual candidate. He broke the mold, broke through a lot of normal political appearances, and there are many of his opponents, especially on the progressive left, who never accepted and don't want to accept the outcome of the election. And so there is a movement, actually, what they call themselves, a resistance that wants to oppose him at any turn. And lo and behold, that aspect of liberalism, to some extent, being tamped down by more mainstream Democrats in political office. Some of these aspects are already jumping and going to the impeachment route, including a few members of Congress, but especially you're starting to get more and hearing more and more from outside the Beltway. Hmm. I think this points to the extent to which our politics are very unusual right now, and people are looking for ways to oppose this guy at every turn.
All right, I've got a great quote here from Woodward, Bob Woodward of the old Watergate fame,
right.
Washington Post. Yeah, he's like an institution in D.C. But he said this the other day, quote, "We've got an old newspaper war going between the New York Times and the Washington Post, some very powerful stories. At the same time, I think it's time to dial back a little bit about because there are people around, certainly not the reporters at the Post, who are kind of binge drinking the anti-Trump Kool-Aid, and that is not going to work in journalism. Let the politicians have that binge drinking." He's talking in reference to some of these ideas about impeachment and some of the criticisms against Trump. Your comments on that?
Well, that's exactly right, and you need to think the extent to which the modern situation is driving this. I mean, let's back up for a moment. The way the Constitution works, where politics works, someone is elected to the presidency. There are mechanisms if you need to remove the president. The clear one, the constitutional method for actually removing them from office is impeachment, in which Congress passes impeachment, the Senate acts as a trial, and you throw them out of office for high crimes and misdemeanors. There's also the 25th Amendment, a way that the vice president and the cabinet, with majority of Congress, can declare a president unable to exercise the office, right? Think of Woodrow Wilson having a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
When Ronald Reagan had surgery, he temporarily invoked that while he was unable to be in office, but he came back and was still president. There are constitutional mechanisms. But in the modern day and age, when you have the internet and stories coming up within hours, constant turning to the electronic media, the world of Twitter,
mm-hmm.
I think that those mechanisms are not fast enough anymore. And so we are much more quickly, as a matter of political opposition, trying to get there. And really these mechanisms and these references to impeachment are merely evidence of their political desires. These are not legitimate claims. The claim that somehow Donald Trump has violated the emoluments clause, which is what Brookline, Massachusetts town hall, or their town council has passed a resolution encouraging Congress to impeach him based on the emoluments clause. Do you mind if I ask
what does that mean? Just define that.
that's the exact reaction, which is that most Americans have never heard of or have no sense of what this thing is. The emoluments clause is a clause in the Constitution that says that you can't receive an emolument, namely a gift, an expensive gift, which was clearly intended to prevent political affairs from being bribed. It actually stems from the fact that the French king had given Benjamin Franklin a snuff box covered with diamonds, right? How do you prevent a foreign entity from bribing an official to change their policies? That's the emoluments clause. You can't do that. Well, the argument here is that, well, Donald Trump makes money from international investments. Oh. He has companies and properties overseas. Those should be considered emoluments. He's making money from outside the United States. He violates the clause. Therefore, we should impeach him. I mean, these are people that have probably never taken the Constitution seriously in their lives.
Yeah.
But they so want to find a way to go after him, to bring him up, to take him to court, that I think they're reaching. They're reaching.
Sure.
But it tells you where our politics are. There's a big divide here.
Yeah.
And they want to, you know, he is challenging many of the kind of the politics that had been kind of cemented into place for some time, some decades. He's breaking through a lot of that. I think there are many, especially on the progressive left, who see him potentially as a serious threat to the continuing movement of their political forces, and they want to take any opportunity they can to challenge him, and they're not willing to wait till the 2018 midterm elections, which is historically the way a president is initially challenged.
Sure.
Before his reelection.
You know, it's interesting. Even despite all the great success of Ronald Reagan, his first midterm was very poor, actually, in 1982. And then,
well,
of course, in 1984, he made history.
Historically, midterms, the first midterm of a president is almost historically always bad for the president,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they've not yet got their agenda in place, right? They're still playing out some of the budget decisions of the previous president. And so traditionally that's where the first reaction against the new president hits.
Right.
In Reagan's case, right, the economy hadn't turned around yet.
Right.
But if you're not willing to wait, I mean, that's when you think of the Twitter world, I mean, 2018 is, you know, decades away. And if you can't wait that long, you want to stir things up now.
Right. All right. Now, I've got this book, The Heritage Guide to the Constitution. And you were the executive editor of this particular book. And in reference to the Constitution on the standards for impeachment for the president or vice president and all civil officers of the United States, they have to be convicted for or of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors.
Right.
And here's a quote from your book. The impeachment remedy was to be used in only the most extreme situations, a position confirmed by the relatively few instances in which Congress has used the device. And so it is kind of surprising in light of that, and you're absolutely right. Why were people talking about, you know, Trump being impeached even before he was inaugurated?
No, it points to we have an unusual situation here in which people who don't normally do so are looking to the Constitution for an answer, and in actuality they're doing what is supposed to happen, and that might sound odd, but let me explain what I mean by that. The impeachment clause, you're right, is meant for extreme cases, right? We've had two presidents who, three if you count Richard Nixon, although it wasn't voted on in the House, but you know, three presidents got into impeachment problems. They were never convicted, right? It's extremely rare, and there's a certain political question that Congress can decide what ultimately is a high crime and misdemeanor. We know things, something that doesn't mean, for instance, maladministration. It doesn't merely mean he doesn't run the office very well, right? We don't agree with his policies. It doesn't mean that. We know that from the original debate. But it's largely a political question, which is to say it should be fought out in Congress if Congress deems it worthy to bring up, but more likely, initially, it should be fought through elections, right? Which is what the founders mostly meant to have happen, which is what the first midterms of the president are supposed to be. And then, of course, you have the president's reelection. Here you have the unusual situation where some of his critics, well before his own election, you're correct in pointing out, wanted to prevent him from coming into office. They wanted to block him. I think they wanted to set up the circumstances of illegitimacy. And I think now, and there are, you know, various things I think that have not been handled well that have fed this story in terms of the special counsel and the Russian investigations. Now they want to construct this whole narrative that suggests that there's corruption going on. Of course, we have no evidence of this yet. We're way beyond, ways from that getting to this point. And Congress is investigating that. But what they really want to do is they want to politically fight against him and his administration. Mm-hmm. But they're doing it now with this kind of this gauze over what they're doing by trying to put it into constitutional language, which I think when you investigate a little bit is actually unserious, if not really absurd at a certain level.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you this. Is there anything there in reference to this? Okay. February, I forgot the date exactly, but apparently the president told Comey, then head of the FBI, back off the investigation of Flynn. You know, he's a nice guy, just let him go and let's move on. And then May 9, he fires Comey. And so to the liberals, or some of them, this is, oh, this, these two facts are the smoking gun. He tried to impede an investigation.
Right. And that's what I meant by saying there's circumstances that have fed the narrative. And we should let those play out. And we should get information. And I think having Mueller as a special prosecutor was a good move. But you got to get some more information. Right now, we don't have any data. We don't have facts about most of the stuff that is being talked about right now. And you got to think about, well, you know, what does it mean to try to impede an investigation? What was the intent? There's some serious questions there, and they should all be pursued. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. And if pursued and there's something there, that should be handled appropriately, and there are constitutional mechanisms. I just think at this point, it's merely a political conversation. We should recognize it as such. This is politics being played out under the guise of constitutional arguments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the mechanisms, the appointment of Mueller being the chief one to look into all this, Congress is issuing subpoenas. Those mechanisms are moving forward. But I think that what we're seeing is that they're not moving forward at a pace that is keeping up with the political activists who want to argue about this in the political realm.
Mm-hmm. And then another thing, too, that's unusual is the different marching in the streets. And then there's allegations of Obama having wiretapped people or listening into conversations and so forth. In some ways, It seems almost as if the transition from Obama to Trump was one of the most disruptive transitions in power that I've ever seen. I mean, George W. Bush, for example, was very gracious. You know, he lost. He didn't lose. His terms were up. But the next president was Obama. And, you know, there was a nice, peaceful transition. We're used to that in America. Not so with this most recent transition.
Well, yes and no, right? I mean, from the formal point of view, I mean, the Obama administration, including President Obama, did nothing to act in terms of their actions and how they went out of office and allowed for the Trump transition. Nothing occurred to suggest or cause any problems. I think it was, I recall, was it between Bush and Obama that they took all the W's out of the typewriter?
Yeah,
I can't remember that.
Yeah, Clinton. Yeah, between Clinton and Obama.
Clinton, Bush,
or
right?
Bush. Yeah.
Bush. So at that level, I think there was nothing unusual. I think what's unusual here is that there was, at the level of kind of grassroots activism, at the party level, there has been a huge movement to delegitimize this presidency from the very beginning, from the moment he became the Republican nominee. And I think this has to be really seen as an extension of that.
Yeah.
Now, that's how politics works, and if that aspect of the party, which I think is not a majority, but is clearly a strong element of the Democratic Party, if that becomes a larger trend, if that becomes a theme in the 2018 elections, and if the Democrats do well in 2018 elections, let's say the economy doesn't pick up, let's say Congress doesn't get its legislative agenda moving forward, don't seem to do much, going into 2018, this could become a big issue, at which point it's a political issue in an election, which from the founders' point of view, from the Constitution's point of view, that's the place where you should really fight this out, at least initially. If that were to change, if the House were to change hands from Republicans to Democrats, you might see a very different story here, because now you have a majority in the House that does have the constitutional powers to move forward in impeachment.
Yeah.
Whether it's still a legitimate question, whether this amounts to high crimes and misdemeanors, I think even then we have a lot to learn, and at least as of now, it doesn't seem like we're anywhere near that.
All right, Matt Spaulding, your materials is available at hillsdale.edu. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Great talking to you. Anytime.
Okay, you too now. Thanks. Bye-bye.